This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
And welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the beautiful book, Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 1, where we left off last time. Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 1, sometimes called Canticles. Before we begin, I want to invite all of you to come here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. for the live SoundCloud teaching and then fervent prayer for America according to 2 Chronicles 7:14. You're also invited to come here every Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio broadcast taping, internet taping, and SoundCloud teaching. I'm in Suntory, Florida. I'm right beside Scott Mercer's The Produce Place. The Produce Place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Bonita Causeway. I'm right there, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. And now, from God's heart to my heart to your heart, the greatest love story ever told, and you are in this story. Now, we've learned that the Song of Solomon is a parable written in the form of a play. A parable is a story used to illustrate a spiritual truth. There are four main characters: the beautiful Shulamite girl, the wonderful shepherd boy they're madly in love, King Solomon, and the daughters of Jerusalem. King Solomon is the richest man on earth, and the daughters of Jerusalem are living in his palace. There are two bit characters, the mother of the Shulamite girl and her brothers. Now in the story, she and the wonderful shepherd boy were taking care of sheep, fell madly in love, and were planning to get married. But her brothers, to protect her, said get away from him, sent her to the vineyard, and there King Solomon, the richest man in the world, saw her. He had all the other women in the world, the daughters of Jerusalem, already living with him, and he brought her to the palace. Now, she was not interested in him. He could not woo her. But she kept telling the daughters of Jerusalem how wonderful her shepherd boy was. And so, thank you very much for everybody being still and not moving around, okay? I appreciate that very much. And so, nighttime came, and then she slipped out of the palace. She went into the streets looking for her wonderful shepherd boy. She was trying to get to her vineyard because she thought a wonderful shepherd boy would come and find her there. But King Solomon sent a chariot after her. The daughters of Jerusalem followed her. She would not go back. And so we left off with her trying to get to the vineyard so that she could meet the shepherd boy there, because she knew that he would look for her there. And so as we open the curtain there in chapter 5, we find that while the Shulamite girl and the wonderful shepherd boy are not together, he's looking for her too. He's going to try to come to vineyard and find her. And they are having mental telepathy. Now, all of this means that all of the elect who are alive on planet Earth right now, men and women, who are not going to be deceived by the soon coming Antichrist depicted by King Solomon, we are going to wait for our wonderful shepherd boy, the second coming of Jesus Christ. The daughters of Jerusalem are half the body of Christ, Matthew 25, who are going to think the Antichrist is Jesus and marry him too soon. And they will be lost then, because they would have married the devil. The Antichrist is the devil with a Jesus costume on. The mother is the church, and her brothers are those Christians in the church who will think the elect of the seed. They're going to turn us into the Antichrist, thinking they're helping us. But don't you worry. It's God's plan that the elect will be delivered up to the Antichrist, so the Holy Spirit can witness through us, so the whole world can hear the true gospel. Okay, as the curtain comes up now, the wonderful shepherd boy is speaking to her, although they're not together.
Verse 1. I am coming to my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink. Yea, drink abundantly, O beloved.
He's saying, I'm coming to the vineyard, my darling Shulamite girl, and you and I are going to get married, and we're going to invite our friends there. We're going to have a beautiful feast for the elect. We're not going to marry the Antichrist, although the whole world will and half the body of Christ. We're going to wait for the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we're going to feed on the body of Jesus and the blood of Jesus.
Amen. Verse 2, but my heart waketh.
First of all, she says, I sleep, but my heart waketh. What happened? She was in the streets there. She would not go back with King Solomon. The daughters of Jerusalem are following her. She was so tired. It'd been a long time. She fell asleep in the streets, and she's having a dream. But the dream is so real, she says, I think I'm asleep, but this is real. She actually thinks she's back in her mother's house in her bed, and something happens. What happens? Now, remember, this is a dream, but it seems real.
It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night.
In her dream, the wonderful shepherd boy is knocking on her door at her mother's house, and it's very, very early in the morning when the dew starts coming on the grass, even his hair is covered with dew. For an elect, the Holy Spirit knocks, the Holy Spirit of Jesus, at your door. And very often, for an elect, a person who's called, chosen, totally dedicated to God, he will knock at the early morning of the hours at the due time. I have learned something. Listen carefully to me, all of you who are chosen. He will very often wake you up at 3 o'clock in the morning. In heaven at 3 o'clock, you're probably going to get your prayers answered more because most people are asleep. So he'll wake you up at 3 o'clock. Now, what I used to do is say, oh my Lord, I get up at 5 o'clock anyway, I better go back to sleep. But I've learned, when it's 3 o'clock every morning over a prolonged period of time, that's the wonderful Jesus Christ knocking at your door. And so now I don't get up at 5, I get up at 3. What you do, if this happens to you, don't try to go back to sleep. Say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth, and let him speak to you. Sometimes he wants to give you special instruction because you're one of the few people who will give your whole life to him, or sometimes he just wants to come and love you. So, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. What wilt thou have me do? Here am I, send me.
Verse 3, I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I wash my feet. How shall I defile them?
Now, in her dream, she's undressed for bed. She's washed her feet for bed, but her clothes are nearby. She says, I want to open the door, but I know that I've got to walk through a little grass from the door to the gate to let it in. I'll get dirty, but of course she's going to let him in. For the elect, we know that when Jesus comes, half the body of Christ, the daughters of Jerusalem, are going to think he's already here because they will think the Antichrist is here. The Antichrist is going to pretend to be Jesus instead of Christ, the devil with his Jesus costume on. But for the elect, we're going to have our bridal gown ready, men and women. It's called the robe of righteousness in Revelation 19. The elect have a robe of righteousness to wear for the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's woven out of the righteous acts of saints. Every time you win a soul to Jesus, every time you pray with anointing, intercessory prayer for others, every time that you witness for the Lord Jesus, that is weaving your gown. And though you don't have it on yet, when Jesus comes, you'll have it ready. But what about her bare feet? The elect have the gospel armor on, Ephesians 6, all the time. Our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The elect are always studying God's word. You stay in a preparation of doing his will, doing his work with the robe of righteousness and studying his word. See, an elect, does not just hear Wednesday's teaching or Sunday's teaching one time. They get it digitally and they hear again. They don't just read one little devotional book and run out the door. Every word of God, every word of God. Father, let no man lives by every word of God. Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. Not a little verse here, not a little word there. And every time you hear a teaching of the word of God, it will grow, it will grow. I used to assign people to listen to my teaching 7 times before the next lesson.
Verse 4.
Not because I'm anything, but because it's God's word.
My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels moved for him.
In Bible times, they thought your bowels were the seat of emotion. Sometimes they thought your kidneys were the seat of emotion. And now we think the heart's the seat of emotion. What she means is, oh my goodness, this is her dream. He's knocking at the door. I'm so excited to see him. I love him so much. For the elect, the Lord is always knocking at your door. I mean, you just hear him. The Holy Spirit speaking to an elect all the time. And elect turns, just turns on a dime at his voice there. And the elect are always excited. Ooh, his left hand's under your head. His right hand embraces you. The Holy Spirit anointing falls on you. It's so thrilling. It's exciting. The honeymoon goes on all the time with an elect and the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're bored with your relationship, you better get saved and you better get sanctified. Something's wrong.
Verse 5. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock.
She gets up and she says, I'm going to open the door. He smells so good. He's fresh. He's got the dew. And she says, oh, I can smell his fragrance there. For an elect, the fresh anointing of Holy Spirit is like fresh morning dew. When the Holy Spirit falls on an elect, the baptism, the language of God coming on you, his left hand under your head, it's a fresh anointing. It's fresh oil. Ooh, what a savor.
Verse 6, I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer.
In her dream, she goes to the door and opens it. She even hears him speak, but suddenly she awakens. And she's heart sick. Oh, my Lord, I'm in the streets. King Solomon's coming after me. He's not there. For an elect, you go from glory to glory to glory. From level of knowing Jesus, baby level, on and on, like Jacob's ladder. You go from one anointing of the Holy Spirit to another anointing. One level of vision, understanding the truth to another. But you're never satisfied. You don't stop there. You get to this level. You say, boy, I'm saved. Hallelujah. I know everything. Baby Christians think they know everything. They know nothing. So then you say, wait a minute. I'll seek him some more. Oh, wait. There's more. Oh, that's not it. There's more. There's more. You find him. Each ladder level there is the Lord, is his fellowship, but there's more. And so you seek and you seek and you seek. And you go from level a level, level of understanding, getting closer to him, knowing his heart. But one day, the elect will be at the top of Jacob's ladder, conformed to the image and likeness of Jesus, and we shall see him face to face. Amen. If you search for him with all your heart, you'll find him. I found him whom my soul loves, and I will not let him go. I knew there was more. I was saved. I was called. It was a little girl, but I always knew there was more, and I kept seeking. And I just, every day with me is a new adventure. Don't think I don't have troubles, probably more than most of you, because I'm on the front line of battle. But every day I find more of him. There's more to him. He's like a great fir tree, evergreen, ever living, ever pregnant. Don't ever stop going, growing, seeking more, seeking more, seeking more.
Amen. Verse 7. The watchman that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the wall took away my veil from me.
She's awake now. King Solomon sent his guards to find her and bring her back. When they found her, Shulamite girl, slapping you. How dare you leave the palace? We're going to rip your bridal veil you got on there for your shepherd boy. She had actually had a bridal veil on to go to meet a shepherd boy in the vineyard. They ripped it from her. Now far and elect, the watchmen are the false prophets who are going to tell you that the first one coming in the sky is Jesus coming to fly your way. No, 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 no. Jesus said, stay in the field. The first one coming is the Antichrist, the sixth trump. But he's going to pretend to be Jesus, peace and safety, cause craft to prosper. Two horns of a lamb, but the voice of a dragon. The whole world, Revelation says, will worship him. Half the body of Christ on this planet alive right now are going to go through him thinking he is Jesus. No reason not to unless you knew the word of God, but I'm teaching you the word of God. And they're going to try to take your veil away from you so you won't be a pure virginal bride when the real Jesus comes. Because anybody who goes to that first one, even though he looks like Jesus, talks like him, acts like him, if you marry him, you've married the devil. And your veil won't be there, pure and virginal, for the wedding supper of the Lamb.
Verse 8, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem.
Now, the daughters of Jerusalem have followed her in the streets, so she's going to talk to them now. They're very interested in her. The daughters of Jerusalem represent the deceived body of Christ. When the elect live up to the Antichrist, don't worry, not one hair of your head shall be harmed. The Holy Spirit is supposed to speak through the elect, and the gospel will be heard in the whole wide world. Those deceived church members, they love Jesus. They went to church this morning. They read their Bible. They do good things. But they don't know the word of God enough. They're going to hear the elect say what the Holy Spirit says, and they're going to run away from the Antichrist and run to the elect and say, put in a good word for us, for Jesus, we were just deceived. But it's too late, quoth the raven, nevermore.
If he find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love.
She says, I'm trying to find my beloved in the streets here, and I know you don't want to find him too now, you daughters of Jerusalem, because you know you shouldn't have married King Solomon. If you find him, tell him I'm lovesick.
Verse 9. What is thy beloved more than another beloved?
The daughters of Jerusalem say, why in the world do you love the shepherd boy more than King Solomon? I mean, he's so rich, and your shepherd boy just takes care of sheep.
Oh, thou fairest among women.
They knew she was beautiful because King Solomon wanted her. The elect are beautiful of heart. God does not look on the outward appearance. You shouldn't either. I never, even when I could see, I'm not interested how beautiful you are, handsome you are. I don't care what kind of clothes you wear. I've seen homeless people who are gorgeous. God looks on the heart. The heart is beautiful, that's pure.
What is thy beloved more than another beloved, that thou dost so charge us?
So Shulamite girl, tell us about why in the world would you prefer the wonderful shepherd boy? Why, elect, would you wait for somebody that you not even hear? Why would you not marry the wonderful king, King Solomon? The devil with his Jesus costume on. She's going to tell him about a wonderful shepherd boy. But remember, the elect are going to tell you about wonderful Jesus.
Verse 10, my beloved is white and ready.
White means he's very clean, daughters of Jerusalem. He's very clean. Ruddy means to show color in the face. He has rosy cheeks. For the elect, our Lord is clean. His head is hair white as wool, as white as snow. And the elect remember that when they pull the beard out of Jesus' cheek, ruddy means to show blood in the face. We remember the cheeks were bloody. He showed blood in the face.
The chiefest among 10,000.
She says, my wonderful shepherd boy is the greatest guy on this planet. Father elect, the Lord Jesus is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. We're the church, and he's the head. He's above, and we're beneath.
Verse 11, his head is as the most fine gold.
Fine gold means reddish blonde. He's a blonde, but when a blonde, I was born blonde. If I got in the sun too much, a pale blonde, my hair would start getting red streaks in it. So he says he's got beautiful blonde, reddish hair from the sun. For the elect, we know that Jesus is the Son of God, and the seed of the Father is in Jesus. And our Father God is the Father of lights. Light. Beautiful yellow light. Light.
His locks are bushy and black as a raven.
Now, wait a minute. If he's blonde, reddish blonde, how can his locks be black as a raven? Men had long hair then, like Richard used to have. Okay, long hair there. A raven is an unclean bird. Very dirty, very unclean. Now, what happened when the wonderful shepherd boy would take care of his sheep? His locks, his blonde locks, reddish blonde locks, would fall down. The sheep were very dirty. They were just falling in all kind of dirt. And they had bugs in them, dirty bugs. And he would try to get the bugs out of the sheep because a shepherd loves a sheep. But those bugs would hide themselves in his thick hair. So his locks were kind of dirty now with bugs. Father elect, our Lord Jesus, the glorious God, the light of the world, left heaven's glory, so clean, so pure, the light of the world. But he took our sins on himself, our dirty black sins on himself, and he took our bugs, COVID, viruses, flu. He took all the filth of humankind on himself. He got dirty for us.
Verse 12, his eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of water.
She says he has beautiful eyes, and when he sees reflection in the water, it is so beautiful. For the elect, we know that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. A dove represents the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit guides an elect. He guides you. He knows everything about everything. And the Holy Spirit sees clearly. When you're confused, the Holy Spirit's dove's eye sees. He knows everything. He will guide you into all truth. So the elect are led by the Holy Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you're not led by the Holy Spirit of God, you're not saved, he says. But the Holy Spirit guides an elect, and the elect see with Holy Spirit's clear vision, no muddy vision.
Washed with milk and fitly set. Verse 13, his cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh.
She says, my shepherd boy smells so good. He kind of puts on a little aftershave lotion there when he comes to visit me for an elect. The presence of Jesus Christ lives in a real Christian who's an elect. I live, yet not I. Christ lives in me. And his presence is like a sweet-smelling savor. Therefore, when an elect prays, the prayers, if you pray to the Spirit, are like a sweet-smelling savor. Paul tells us that for an elect, because Jesus lives in you, you are a sweet-smelling savor to the lost. You're a sweet-smelling savor to the saved. The saved want an elect around them because you give them hope. The lost want an elect around them because you give them hope. So Jesus smells good, like the wonderful shepherd boy, but he smells good in and on an elect.
Verse 14, His hands are as gold rings set with a beryl.
A beryl means protection. She says, when I was taking care of my sheep, my wonderful shepherd boy would see the wolves coming to steal my sheep and hurt me. My wonderful shepherd boy would take his hands and he would make that wolf go away. He would protect me. For the elect, the angel of the Lord encamps round about you and delivers you. Psalm 34:7. The angel of the Lord is the presence of God. He is around you. He's a wall of fire about you. No evil shall befall you. No plague shall come nigh your dwelling. And for an elect, Luke 10:19, Jesus says, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. All the wolves, scorpions, and serpents, devils and demons. In other words, the Jesus Christ in an elect is his hand. His name protects you from alcohol, from drugs, from devils, from demons, from COVID virus, from sickness, from the Antichrist. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name.
His belly is like bright ivory, overlaid with sapphires.
Now I know somebody say, what you gonna do with that one, Sherry Medlock? Well, I'll tell you what I'm gonna do. She says, he dresses so nicely. I mean, beautiful, clean clothes. Sapphires mean gifts. And she says, when he comes to visit me in his nice, clean clothes, he brings me gifts because he loves me. For an elect, you're supposed to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit resides in elect in your belly, although he's everywhere. And Jesus says, elect, men and women, boys and girls, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. The anointing of the Holy Spirit. And then when that Holy Spirit comes from an elect, out through your hands, out through your mouth, out through your very presence, come the gifts of Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The gift of the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, the gift of faith, the gift of discernment of spirits, the gift of prophecy, the gift of healing, the gift of miracles, the gift of speaking in tongues, the gift of interpretation of tongues.
Verse 15, his legs are as pillars of marble, set upon sockets of fine gold.
She says, daughter of Jerusalem, you ought to see my wonderful boy shepherd's legs. Wow, what legs. His legs are so strong, they hold up his body. In other words, it looks like his legs are kind of like monuments holding up his body. The Bible tells us in Revelation that the future heaven on earth, we don't need a temple, for the Lord is a temple thereof. And Ezekiel 44 through 48 is describing all of that. It says that in front of the temple, which is Father, Son, Holy Spirit, heaven on earth, not a building, but the Lord, the temple, there are pillars there. And the pillars hold up the temple. The pillars are God's elect. They hold up Jesus Christ. Want to find out if you're elect? You hold up the name of Jesus. You hold up the word of God, Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. You hold up the cross of Jesus. You hold up the blood of Jesus. For our Christmas program, we had a little scene there. I lifted up a little doll, and what I was doing spiritually was lifting up Jesus. Do you lift up Jesus wherever you go? Then you're an elect.
His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars.
She says, daughters of Jerusalem, look at the beautiful cedars of Lebanon. They are the most beautiful trees for an elect. All Christians who are saved are called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. It's a metaphor. But God calls his elect the cedars of Lebanon. They stand out because, first of all, they're not going to be deceived by the Antichrist, and they're chosen for the foundation of the world, and they give their whole life away for God when they find out the truth. So it's not too late for anybody. However, she says, my wonderful shepherd boy is even greater than the cedars of Lebanon. Hosea 14 says Jesus equates himself, God equates himself as a green fir tree, ever living, ever pregnant, ever living, the greatest tree. Jesus calls us the trees of righteousness, but he's a tree of life in Genesis. He's a tree of life in Revelation, and he's the great fir tree, the tree of life. He's the head forevermore, the greatest tree of all.
Verse 16, his mouth is most sweet.
She says, daughter of Jerusalem, you should hear his speech. He studied speech with a good speech teacher. He doesn't mumble like cell phone users. He doesn't talk in the back of his throat. He has good diction. He puts T's on the words and D's. He speaks really good. I love to hear his voice. For the elect, the word of God is life to all who find it and health to all your flesh. The word of God to an elect is exciting. Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. The elect can't get enough of the word of God. They want to hear it again. They don't read a little devotional book and go out the door. They don't read a little verse here, a little verse there. The word of God is beautiful. It's life to them. It's the voice of God speaking to them. And it's never boring. It's new every morning. You know, I teach the Bible over and over and over. No matter how many times I teach a book, it's greater than it was before. Because God is that great evergreen, green tree. And his word is life to those that find them. And health to all this flesh. Do you love the word? Or do you just kind of hurry up and read a little verse there? Better do a check there. Are you saved?
He is altogether lovely.
She says, daughter of Jerusalem, he's the most handsome man on this planet. For the elect, our Lord is Yahweh Shalom. Complete, whole, nothing missing. Nothing broken.
This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem.
Now, that's why I prefer the wonderful shepherd boy. She says, what I just told you, he is my beloved, and I am his, but he's not just my beloved, he's my friend. So you see, for an elect, you get married, your mate, you love them, you love your children, you love your parents, you love your friend. But there's nobody you love more than your shepherd. He is your first love, your second love, your third love. But you know what I learned? You love other people more because you love him first of all. But Jesus is not only our beloved. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. No greater love than this, that a man laid out his life for his friend. To close and wrap it all up, I wrote you a little poem just a few minutes ago. Somebody's knocking at your door. Let me in. Let me in. Jesus is knocking at your door. Your beloved and your best friend. I pray you are blessed. Hallelujah. I'm proud of you. Hallelujah. I normally introduce to you right now the owner of the produce place, Scott Merson, man of God, my twin friend. But our friend Scott and his beautiful family, Angela, Max, Olivia, needed a much needed rest. They go to their lake house for a few days. They'll be back next Sunday. And they needed that rest, so we pray for them for a safe, safe trip back. But God doesn't drop us off at Hollywood and Vine without a babysitter. We've got another man of God. He is married to beautiful Leah. He's got Ramona, a daughter, and his little man, Alexander. And a few years ago, Richard came to my school in Cocoa, accepted the Lord, and I baptized him, and he loves the Lord. But he can't always be here because he's one of Scott's faithful buyers of produce that has to drive the truck. He gets all of my teaching, and he just told me he listens to every one of them. He also helps recovering alcoholics and recovering drug addicts. Let's give a great big hand for Richard Guyvett. Now, Richard, I'll call Scott, great Scott, I'm going to call you Richard the Great, okay? David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Richard's stuff?
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and we shall sup with him, and with him me. Revelations 3:20.
That is great. Richard the Great. Thank you. Thank you very much. You did so good. We're proud of you. And we're looking forward to Scott coming back. And we do pray that Scott works all the time. Mm-hmm. And we pray they'll get that good rest. Now, before I pray for healing, if anyone's not saved in here or out in cyberspace, we're all over the world now, pray this prayer with me. The most important thing is you to be saved. Nothing else matters except that right now. Here we go. Pray this with me and mean it. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
I ask forgiveness for all my sins.
I ask forgiveness for all my sins.
Save me, Lord.
Save me, Lord.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
And use
to win many souls to Jesus.
To win many souls to Jesus.
Amen. 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 Now, for those of you in cyberspace, the Bible tells us that with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. Death and life are the power of the tongue. You're supposed to tell someone. Now, after this, at the end of this program, you will hear my announcer, Scott Merson, give you my telephone number. So please feel free to call and leave your confession on my voicemail. When I get it, I will pray for you, and welcome to the family of God. And now, I'm going to pray today for people who are having problems with their ears. Father, in Jesus' name, we know that with you nothing is impossible. And we know that in Malachi 4, you said the Son of Righteousness arises with healing in his wings. So in the mighty name of Jesus, we speak to both ears, to the left ear and to the right ear. We speak in Jesus' name, and anything in there that's blocking the hearing, infection, inflammation, any kind of growth or wax, move from the left ear, move from the right ear in the name of Jesus. If the eardrum has been damaged, we call Yahweh Shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken. He sent his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes, you were healed. He restores health and cure to you. The Son of Righteousness rise with healing in his wings. So in the name of Jesus, bless your ears, for they hear. And we all say,
I agree in Jesus' name.
Nothing's given you to keep, so go and tell. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your second best friend, Sherry Medlock, but your best friend is Jesus. I love you, and I'm looking forward to the next time when you and I get together as a family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
God bless you, America. This is Sherry Medlock of Trumpet of Truth, inviting every Christian in America, right where you are, to please join me on Sunday, April 3rd, for America's Day of Repentance and Praise in view of 2 Chronicles 7:14. God's word is true, and he says, if my people call by my name, that's we, the Christian people of America, all 50 states, will humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face, not his hand, but his face, and turn from our wicked ways, repent of our self-centeredness, our greed, our narcissism. God promises he will hear from heaven, he'll forgive our sins, and heal our land. He will heal America. I want to ask every Christian leader in America, wherever your platform is, pastors, politicians, radio, television, internet, social media, Christian organizations, will you that day please, any time on that Sunday, April 3rd, gather your flock together and lead them to pray and then do 2 Chronicles 7:14. Call out the sins of the church by name. And I want to ask you then, after you repent with your flock there, wherever you are, your own platform there, please lead your congregation to praise, because Psalm 22 says God inhabits the praises of his people. I do ask you, please, don't make this a show. Don't let anybody get famous or advertise their agenda about this. Let's be humble here and meek about this. Prostrate, if possible, on the floor, metaphorically in sackcloth and ashes. You might want to wear red, white, and blue. I do encourage everybody all of America, wherever you are, to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, and then let's all sing the Star Spangled Banner, which is a national anthem for America, the national anthem for red, yellow, brown, black, and white. Now, if the Holy Spirit's nudging you to participate, you might want to let me know. So here's someone who can let you know. He's my prayer partner, my twin friend, man of God, Scott Merson. Take it away, Scott.
Yes, you can reach or contact Sherry at Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, at gmail.com. That would be Shari Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, at gmail.com.
Thank you so much, Scott. God bless you, America. I love you with all my heart. Let's do this. Let's make America one nation under God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We all say, I agree in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
You're listening to WMIE, today's Modern Worship, 91.5 FM.
My sin was heavy, the chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. Confession, Lord, that we are weak, so very weak, but you are strong. And though we've nothing, Lord, to lay at your feet, we come to your feet and say, help us along. Broken heart and a contrite spirit, you have yet to deny. Your heart of mercy beats with love's strong current. Let the river flow by your spirit now, Lord. Spirit now.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, Vieira, FM 102.3.
Is it true?
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning, my song shall rise.